Good morning. This is Lana Jack coming to you from Sulalo Indian Village on along the Columbia River. And I am here with Andy Sohappy.
Hello, Andy Sohappy. This is my Indian name is Shmohala. Come from the Wanapum band that's right by Hanford Nuclear Reservation and Yakima Firing Center. That's where my people are from, or the Jeno Lake area by Cook's Landing.
Andy, could you please tell us of the incident on July 15th?
We just got to our camp like 3 o'clock in the morning. Then Inner Tribal came there, seen my son smoking on the car. They drug him out of the car and said, let me see your pipe. And he didn't have a pipe. They just drug him out of the car anyway and searched him. He didn't have a pipe on him. And the Inner Tribal starts making noise like I was there trying to sleep, but Inner Tribal was there yelling around and he said, it wasn't me, it was your son yelling. It was his son yelling. Like, it was arguing there for like 10 minutes. I went out there, what's going on? I told the Inner Tribal he's trespassing. James is 34 years old. He's trying to get for school clothes for his two kids, but he's not allowed to do that. Oh, I'm sorry, we have to arrest. You can't be taking care of yourself. You have to depend on us to take care of you. We're not going to allow them to take care of us. We're taking care of ourselves. Like, you look at the cows, they got to be fed water. They got to be fed their hay, same way with horses or chickens. They got to be taken care of.
So you have a recent case going on. Could you talk to us about the encroachment upon our treaty rights as you are having to deal with enforcement and who has jurisdiction or say over us as Indian people exercising our treaty rights here on the Columbia River?
We're not allowed to exercise our treaty rights because Intertribal Fish Commission, we reserved that right in the treaty to hunt and fish on the Yurisil and the custom areas and gather roots and berries, but that's being denied to us. They're trying to make us get a permit to go gather roots and berries or go hunting and fishing now. I never applied for a permit. Before any right can be taken away, there has to be a show of just compensation. We never got paid. We never abandoned it. We never got defeated in war. So this is our right. I have the right to exercise my hunting and fishing rights. So I do it all the time. We go by common law on the Columbia River. Common law are unwritten law. The things in nature tell us when to go fishing, even plants, even birds. Even insects tell us when fish are in the river. So that's the law we go by. We hunt and fish in our usual and the custom areas. Why do you say it's usual? It's, you look it up, it says habit. That's the way I was taught. That's the way I learned when I was growing up. That's how I go fishing. So I don't listen to the state laws or tribal laws or federal laws. I got my own laws that I go by.
Would you say that the tribes, the state or county feds, anybody involved acknowledges the rights of nature or the natural law that you are talking about in any way, shape, or form under their federal codes or laws they're bound by tribally? And each tribe has its own codes and laws. So Columbia River Inner Tribe would serve you a ticket and say you don't have whatever, and they want to fine you up to $5,000, and then they take it to court with the Yakima tribe.
Just recently, I had 11 tickets from Inner Tribal, 11 cases, and there was 13, but they dropped it down to 11. So before I got arrested about a month ago, I challenged jurisdiction under Higgins v. Levine. Once you challenge jurisdiction, they have to prove jurisdiction before they can even write a ticket. So I go by 1787, Article 3. The utmost care shall be taken towards the Indians, their rights and their property, and their liberty shall never be taken from them unless just cause wars authorized by Congress. So they can't take these rights or liberties away from us unless we consent to it. The laws that they're using against us, they're saying, we're using tribal laws, you're under tribal law, you're breaking tribal law. But under Joe Don resolution, which was passed in 1944, it's a general tribal council resolution. It says matters of great importance has to be brought before the people before they can impose these laws on us. And that's the laws we go by, general council laws. And these laws that are imposed on us are like a five-year compact. Five-year compact is just another word for mini treaty. In 1979, they renewed it in 1984 by Tribal Council Resolution T1061. After 1944, it was a 20-year compact. 20-year compact came up, and the Tribal Council didn't renew it. The tribal attorney, he signed the renewal of that five-year compact. So they're calling that the supreme law of the land. But we don't go by that law. We go by the supreme law of the land, United States Constitution. Treaties are the supreme law of the land.
What article is that?
Article, I think it's 5 or 6 on the Constitution. But these were like 2018. So they told me the statute of limitations was up on it. But when I was leaving the jail after my arraignment, I told the judge I would like to have a surety bond number. I'd like the prosecutor's surety bond number, the arresting officer's surety bond number. Then when I was leaving the courtroom, that judge says, and this is in regards to treaty rights violation. That's all I told her. But under the treaty rights violation, you can charge them $1 every minute for violation of treaty rights. So that treaty rights should go back all the way to 1979. $1 every minute for a treaty rights violation. Not only her, but the tribal council back in the 70s, you can charge them $1 every minute.
Put you in jail in Skamania County?
No, tribal court.
Tribal.
How much was the citation again?
Usually around $5,000 for each count.
What happens when you don't pay the ticket?
Have to do jail time or...
Kicked off the river and lose your livelihood. The greatest encroachment upon treaty rights that could be by a law that doesn't align with the ways of our people for thousands of years.
Our general council voted them off the river. Only reason they're in there is because of the Warm Springs, Nez Perce, and Umatilla. Because that five-year compact was agreed by the Secretary of Interior. And the Secretary of Interior can approve it for Warm Springs, Nez Perce, and Umatilla. But they can't approve it for the Yakima tribe. Because 1938, the Indian Reorganization Act, we voted against the Indian Reorganization Act, and we're not in the Wheeler-Howard Act. So they're in there by tolerance alone. They tased him 3 times for resist and arrest. But first time, he went to grab a bottle of water behind our car. So he thought he was trying to escape. So they tased him. Then he comes back and says, I told him that you don't have any jurisdiction here. Oh, yeah, we're authorized, but they're not authorized by the Yakima tribe to be there. They're just there to harass us. They're not there to help us. We had a record of them in 1980 and 81. They was the main ones trying to get us off the river in Simon Scam, like the Inner Tribe, Yakima Tribe, and the National Marine Fisheries, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Washington State Game. They were trying to get us off the river. So even the Department of Interior was trying to get us off the river. They owe us homes from 1938 when the Bonneville Dam was being flooded. They went there to try to get us off the river so they wouldn't have to pay us.
Google is more sovereign on this Columbia River than we Indians are even collectively. If we could come together collectively as a one people, because at one point all the people used to be directly from the Columbia River that got removed, put on the reservations, and that great divide keeps our voice from being unified.
All of these agencies.
It's always been their intent to extinguish our rights, period. Never deviating from that, ever. And what Andy and James are going through is just an escalation of now we're in this violent place of it's okay to tase one of our treaty fishermen who just got off the river. Just got done taking care of his fish. His dad's sleeping. Clearly, Andy says they don't have the right to be there. They want us to consent to everything that they're doing on our behalfs. And meanwhile, they're doing a lot. We'll call ourselves Columbia River Indians that never left and never stopped, never ceased exercising. Well, I did, but Andy didn't. Cease exercising our rights to be out there. And the constant battle of just the colonial mindset that we just don't belong here and that we're always going to be made the Indian problem.
We don't want to be taken care of. We can we can take care of ourselves. We go hunting, we go fishing, we gather roots and berries. That's the kind of life we live. So we don't depend on our tribe to take care of us or depend on the government to take care of us. We're wild and free. Like, we want to take care of ourselves. We don't want to be kept.
That's, oh, hell yeah. Hands up to that one. Our communities, our people in our villages have diminished greatly in this. And it's not all due to COVID, but since COVID, we have lost a lot of people in our Indian villages who live the life that Andy's talking about, the fishing, hunting, and gathering. None of the people on the river live any other way, but a lot of people live this way. And it's not always common back on the res that people live this way, as we have been carrying on since time immemorial and carrying the heart of our ancestors forward with our truths and with our constant battering of our constitutional and civil rights as a people. And our federal Indian law, as he explained, is the supreme law of the land by constitution even. And we're just not feeding into anybody's merciless, savage, or dependent, and constantly got to have something from the government. They have not fulfilled their promises, and that's the bottom line. And so we are unprotected down here in a lot of ways and vulnerable to whatever they think they can run on us next down here to extinguish, exterminate, and get rid of the last of the really long-time Columbia River Indians that never left. We all come from generations of people that never left this Columbia River, and that's the truth. You can go into any one of these villages, their mama and papa were here, and their mama and papa too, and we got people buried up and down this Columbia River that were attacked, that were connected to. And we're one people. That's the saddest thing, is the divide and conquer has said, those people, you people, your people, we're one. Whether we're from up river all the way up at Wanapum, down to the Chinooks, down at the mouth of the river, we're one people. And we've lost the meaning of that alone when we can't even effectively communicate so that people can air the issues at hand that have never ceased in all these years. We're the people who have suffered under this without protection. You want to call us your Indian problem, but if we are Indians, show some responsibility and honor the treaties.
In 1979, it was reaffirmed by the Judge Bolt decisions. The Yakimas have hunting and fishing rights on the tributaries that lead into the Puget Sound from Nisqually all the way up to Bellingham. Now imagine that they build a gas station, super mall, or a home. Before they do that, they put up a sign that says, proposed land use. It's a yellow sign that says, if anybody has any objections, please notify. You have to object to it and say, you can't build a house there. That's where I gather my roots, or that's where I grab berries, or that's where I grab cedar bark or cedar roots. And that's a right that's being taken away from you. So you can't do that anymore. Every time they put up that sign, you have to object to it. From Nisqually all the way up to Bellingham.
This is Salala YM guest Molana Jack. My guest today has been Andy So Happy, Yakima Nation Treaty Fisherman. This has been Lana Jack for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
There's a river somewhere that flows through the land. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes. and you.